including this news story you may have seen on the front page of the New York Times, our partner, yesterday in Sunday's paper. Mark Mazzetti joins us. He's the national security correspondent for our partner, the New York Times. And the question really is this: is America fighting a war in Pakistan or paying someone to fight something of a secret war inside Pakistan? Mark Mazzetti, good morning.
Hey, good morning.
Tell me about the story yesterday that the U.S. is continuing to rely on a network of private spies inside Pakistan to accomplish what end, and what have you been able to learn?
Well, what they're trying to accomplish is to get more information in both Pakistan and Afghanistan about militant networks, about tribal atmospherics in the country, and various other subjects in order to in part help protect troops. One of the concerns, one of the things that this program was born out of, was a concern that the CIA and other intelligence services weren't providing enough information about these militant groups and that were attacking U.S. troops. And so they went out to hire some of these subcontractors and regular contractors in order to build up their own source networks.
How is this different from intelligence agencies building up their source networks, as you say? I mean, wouldn't you presume that the CIA is paying people to spy on enemies, bad guys, inside Pakistan anyway?
Well, they're definitely paying people, and one distinction seems to be that this group of contractors, they don't pay sources. They say they don't pay sources, and they are putting it under a banner called atmospheric information, which is something about the dynamics of a country, the mood of the country, and some situational awareness of the military. They don't call it intelligence because that would be very problematic legally. Now, a lot of people think, though, this is just a distinction without a difference. You have groups giving information to the military, that some of which is ultimately being used for offensive purposes.
So is this sort of like the drone program, where the U.S. can't ostensibly violate the airspace of Pakistan because of the sensitivity inside Pakistan, but we're apparently free to use drones to assist the Pakistanis, to take out forces that we believe are a threat to NATO forces in Afghanistan, that the drones are a difference without a distinction in the same way that this spy network appears to be?
Yeah, going back to your original question, you know, is the U.S. really running a war in Pakistan? I mean, the answer is yes. The drone program has accelerated over the past year. There's a fierce offensive going on now in North and South Waziristan involving the drones. There are U.S. Intelligence operatives on the ground. As I said, there's this contractor network that is feeding information, I think some of which may be going toward the drone program. And so, yes, there's a lot of this is done because of concern about Pakistani views that, you know, they don't want foreign troops, especially U.S. troops, on their soil. So they find various ways around it.
Now, as you wrote in your article, there have been many sort of legal questions about this, the use of this network, and that there was a lot of criticism at the end of the Bush administration, and at least as the Obama administration came in. Are you saying that this has been escalated under the Obama administration, that the temptation to use this network has been too much for the Obama administration to resist, despite some institutional criticism?
Well, actually, the answer is yes, but the question is how this whole thing evolved over time is a little bit murky. The efforts in Afghanistan to use these networks began really in 2008 in the summer. But it really didn't get kicked off until a series of legal approvals in the military, some of the concerns about whether this is inherent spying. So it really wasn't until the summer of 2009, last summer, when the network got stood up, and they've been using them ever since. So, yes, it's been mostly during the Obama administration.
Mark, is there any indication that this network had any bearing whatsoever on the alleged Times Square bomber?
Not in terms of being able to find out information about the bomber or about his ties, not that I'm aware of. But it's some of these sources that the U.S. is relying on with these networks all trying to get information about the group that the bomber was allegedly tied with, the Pakistani Taliban. That's one of the things that they're trying to figure out more information about.
One of the things you write in your report is that General Petraeus, the general in charge of CENTCOM, which of course has Afghanistan and Iraq as its main focus, is fond of this tactic. Were you able to confirm that? And if he is fond of it, why?
Well, he is fond of a very aggressive use of information operations, as well as this kind of atmosphere collection. Now, he believes that, you know, the military should be doing more to supplement what the intelligence agencies are doing. Now, when he signed off on this, which was in January of 2009, his aides say that there were very specific legal prohibitions about some of the stuff that seems to be going on now, and that it seemed to have morphed over time without his approval. But exactly how it morphed and exactly who signed off on a new contract, which was put up last October, that still remains a mystery. So since October, there's been a $22 million contract run by Lockheed that these contractors have been using. And the question is, who signed off on it? And that's still a little bit of a mystery.
Quickly before we go, Mark Mazzetti, national security correspondent for The New York Times, do you sense continuity between the way the Bush administration deals with contractors like this or a real break with the past?
I think that the military, the CIA, other intelligence agencies are having a very tough time weaning themselves off the use of contractors. The wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, the deployments of troops elsewhere have put such a strain on the national security apparatus that they've started to rely on contractors, and they find themselves having difficulty stopping.
Interesting.
And they're trying, but there's not really a broad change in terms of the policy of the use of contractors.
More continuity and really difficult to get out of the business of using contractors. Mark Mazzetti, national security correspondent for our partner, The New York Times.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.